We are doing Megillah. We're up to Yutes Amud Aleph, and we're in Gemara Megillah. We're about 10 lines from the top, 10 lines from where the Gemara begins. Vama Rava. I want to dedicate our learning tonight to a very special person. I don't know their full name, but they partook in a great way to set up the Gemach in memory of Asher Chaim. The person's name is Ruchama. I don't know her parents' name, but Hashem knows who she is, and Hashem should bless her. She just follows online. I don't know who she is, but she really took a great role. If not for her, we wouldn't have the Gemach today, and Hashem should bless her and fulfill her wishes speedily. The Amar Rava Ben Kfar Shalach Le'ir. If you have a guy who's living in a village and he went off to the city. Now, we know that the villagers would read the Megillah earlier. The rabbis gave them a leniency. They didn't always have someone present who could read the Megillah for them. So they could read the Megillah starting the 11th, as we saw the first Mishnah of the Masechta. They were given a leniency that they could read it on the market day when they'd be in the big city anyways. So now this guy is a Ben Kfar. He's from the villagers. He's read the Megillah early. Shalach Le'il. And he traveled to the big city. And now comes Purim. He happens to be in the big city, but he heard Megillah already. So Rava taught, Ben Kach uVein Kach Kore Imahim. Even if he plans on getting back home that day, the night before he reads with them. Remember we said, if you're going to be in your hometown by day, so you read with your hometown. In this case, even though he's going to be in his hometown come sunrise, but right now, the night of Purim, if he's in the big city, he reads with them. My time, hi kivnei ha'il bai lemikre. What's the logic behind this? Because technically everyone has to read like the big cities. Really, everyone has to read on the 14th. The rabbis made a special leniency on the villages so that they'll be available to supply the food and water for their brothers in the cities. When did the rabbis afford him this leniency that he doesn't have to reread it on the 14th when he's in his village? When did the rabbis say, when you come in on market day, we'll let you read it? Ki ite beduchte, when he's in his home territory on Purim. Aval ki ite ba'il, but if he happens to be in the big city, kivnei ir ba'il mikre, he is responsible to read it like the people of the city. Eiti ve'abaye, so asher becho yerucham yatom, Nachmani, otherwise known as Abaye throughout the Shas, Abaye asked, Asher Bechai Yerucham Yatom is the acronym, right? Abaye asked Rava, they were contemporaries, both Kohanim, descendants of Eli HaKohen. So Abaye asks Rava, Ben Krach Shalach Le'ir, Ben Kach Uben Kach Korek Im Komo. If you have a guy who comes from a walled city, Ben Krach, and he goes to the ear, he goes to the regular city, regardless, he reads it like his own place. How does that work? Answers him, Ben Kassar Kadaitich. What do you mean? You think it really means the guy who comes from a walled city? A guy who comes from a walled city, a guy goes from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv. There it depends, like we said earlier. It depends on when he's going to make it back to Jerusalem. You can't say, regardless, he reads like Tel Aviv. Elalav ben kfar, but rather the quote has to be a villager. Velav terutze mitatzit, tni korei mahin. So he says, you didn't have a good quote. Rather, and if you think you had a good quote, then you should read it. Ben kach uben kach korei imahin, not korei kimkomo. And didn't I already tell you that the way it should be read is, the braisa should be, he reads it with them. So either we're talking about a ben kfar, Or, you guys with me? Or you're going to say, Koreim Ahim. So if Jerusalem, a Jew from Jerusalem, goes to Tel Aviv, Venkach uVenkach Koreim Ahim, regardless of when he's going to be home, right now he's in Tel Aviv, he reads with them. So, I'm sorry. El alav bin kfar. Let's reread those last two lines. But rather, we're talking about a villager. Now, v'alav terutze mitarchit. You haven't answered up the question because the brisa he quoted said he reads like his own place. So, yeah, then the brisa is still in contradiction with Rava. Yeah? Answers the Gemara, t'ni koreim ahin. So, you have to modify two things. The brisa is talking about a bin kfar, and the brisa means to say imahin, not kim komo. Yeah. We said in the Mishnah, where must a person read the Megillah to fulfill his obligation? So we had different opinions. Rav Meir said you got to read all of it. Rav Yehuda said from Ish Yehudi, and Rav Yossi said from Acharat Dvarim Eile. Yes, Tanya. So we have in the Brisa the following quote: Rashbi Omer mi balayla hahu. You got to start from that night. That's when the redemption began. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'chulan mikra echad darshu. Rabbi Yochanan said they all had a derivation from one pasuk. It says in the pasuk, "V'tichtov Esther Amalkah u'Mordechai Yehudi et kol tokef." Esther, the queen, and Mordechai Yehudi wrote kol tokef. So you see that there's something called tokef, the strength that interested them. They wrote down the strength, the essence. What is the strength, the essence of the Megillah? That's the pasuk. That pasuk teaches me what is the essence, what's the minimum that must be read. Yeah? So, manda amar kula tokvo shel Achashverosh. Whoever says, you gotta read the whole Megillah, he understands it to mean they wrote kol tokef, all the strength of who? Of Achashverosh. So that you got to get from the beginning, which tells you how powerful he was. He ruled 127 cities till the very end. Now he taxed everyone. Mandama Mishudi took portion Mordechai. He who says it's the strength of Mordechai, well, that begins from Mishudi. Until there, the Megillah doesn't make any mention of Mordechai. So you got to follow the story from where Mordechai enters the scene. Mandama Machadri Mehle took portion Aman. He who says the strength of Haman. So that's why you begin with it's what the Christians call the third chapter. And Rashbi who says you got to get that night, so the idea is you got to get the essence, the strength of the miracle. Ravuna says really they're all arguing about a different verse. The verse says the Megillah was written in and read to let the generations know umara'u al-kacha. And what did they see fit to do so? So what did they see fit to do what? Let's see. We want people to understand umara'u al-kacha umayikia alehim. That's the pasuk. What did they see fit to do it? So and to understand what happened to those people, umayge alehem, and what happened to them, the people who made this institution. Manda amar kula, he who says you got to read the whole Megillah, he understands the verse to mean they instituted reading the Megillah. Mara'u al kacha means mara Achashverosh nishtamesh beklim shebet hamikdash. What did Achashverosh see fit to use the vessels of the temple? Al kacha nishum. He figured 70 years were up. So you got to begin with his calculations of 70 years. You got to begin with Kesheves HaMelech HaKisei Machuso B'Shnat Shalosh B'Shnas. Yeah. Umayge Aleim. And what happened from the whole story? The Katal Vashti, that he ended up killing Vashti. Umanda Mam Yishudi. So he says, what does it mean Maru Al Kacha? That now this first pshat is very difficult. Why is that so important? So you see that the first pshat understands the prime point of writing the Megillah was to understand about the Beit HaMikdash. That's the hidden message of the Megillah. We think it's Esther. We think it's the endangerment of the Jewish people, endangered annihilation. No, Mara'u al-Kacha. Mara'u, what did they see fit to make the Megillah? Al-Kacha, because of this, that Achashverosh. Yeah?
How did Esther...
By that point, he did know. At the party, he told her. She told him at the second party, right? The opinion that says Rabbi Yehuda, you got to read from Ishudi Maram Mordechai Digni Baman. Why did Mordechai start up with Haman Al Kacha? The Shavi Nefshav Dazra, because Haman made himself into an idol. So what was the outcome of all that? Itrachish Nisa. So the point is, you stand up for Jewish values. You don't forego the mitzvahs that the Torah says you got to stand up for. The guy wants to make himself an idol. You don't bow. That's the message of the Megillah. The other opinion says, you start from Achal Dvarim Ha'ile, says Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because you have to understand, why did Haman get upset? Why did he want to annihilate us? Because of Mordechai, because he wouldn't bow. So what did Haman end up getting for trying to annihilate the Jews? The Talut of it, he and his sons were hung on a tree. The opinion Rashbi that says from that night, why did Achashverosh want to review his diary? Al kacha, because of what? There's a minte Esther la man baday, because Esther invited Haman along with her. And what was the outcome? That they had a miracle and they were saved. Okay, so that needs work. What's the big message here? Amar Rav Chelva, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Amar Rav. Halacha k'divrei omer kula. The halacha is with the opinion that says all of the Megillah must be read. V'afilu l'manda amam mishudi. And even the opinion that says only the part of the Megillah from Ishudi must be read, he too agrees that it must be read from a Megillah in which the whole Megillah is written. The only question is, what's the minimum that must be read? But everyone agrees, you got to have the whole Megillah written before you. Rav Chelva quoted Rav Chama Bar Guria in the name of Rav. Megillah nikrat sefer v'nikrat igeret. In one place, the Megillah is called a sefer. In another place, it says the Megillah is an Igeret. We have the custom when we say Igeret, we shake the Megillah. The Baal Korei shakes the Megillah. So everyone sees Igeret Azot. This letter, that's the Megillah. So why is it called a letter? Why is it called a Sefer? Nikret Sefer, it's called a Sefer. Shin Tafra Bechutei Pishtam Tzula. That's like a Sefer, a book of Tanakh, that it cannot be sewn up with strings of flax. The idea of it being called a letter is that it's enough to have three strings of sinus. That's how we make our strings today. The strings of the tefillin, the strings of the Megillah. They're all the same type of string. And then three is enough. It's kosher. Sefer Torah has the same type of strings. Gidin. Binding it. By Sefer Torah you need the whole thing. By Megillah it's enough to have three. Amar Rav Nachman uvivat shiyum shulashin. But the condition is you have to the way you saw the Megillah, you divide it into, you have three holes that are equidistant. So basically you have, let's say, space, hole, space, hole, space, hole, space. So you have four spaces, three holes. You guys got that?
Space means the empty space in between the holes?
Yeah, so you have a space from the top till the hole. And
so what's underneath the last hole? Space, hole, space, hole, space, hole.
Okay. So Mishulashin over here means the holes have to be equidistant, but it doesn't really mean into thirds, it really means into quarters. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel. Hakore b'mgila, ha'ktuba ben ha'ktubim lo yatsa. If someone had a long piece of parchment, he has long parchment, and he has a Treyasar, and he has a Megillas Esther, and he has a Megillas Rosh, he has a whole bunch of books of Tanakh written in kosher style, but it's ktuba ben ha'ktubim. The Megillah is written in between other writings of Tanakh. That's then he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. That's on condition that the Megillah is the same width, the parchment, so it all looks like one long book. It's not longer or shorter than the other pieces of parchment. But if the parchment is slightly longer than the rest of the text, or slightly shorter, then you could tell this is its own Megillah, even though it's sewn in with the other ones. But it's longer or shorter, so you could tell it's its own piece of, it's its own work. That's okay. Levi bar Shmuel avekakari kamed Rav Yehuda. Levi, the son of Shmuel, read before Rav Yehuda b'mgila haktuva ben haktuvin, a Megillah that was part of a bigger set of writings, and it was all sewn together. Amale yareamu akore b'mgila haktuva ben haktuvin lo yatsa. He asked them, wait a second. It says that they thought that you haven't fulfilled your obligation if your Megillah is part of a bigger set of Tanakh. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hakore b'Megillah Ketuvah ben Haketuvim lo yatsa, Umachu la'amocha b'tzibur shanu. And after he said that, he knocked himself on the head, so to speak, and he said, no, when can't you do it? When you're in public. He was reading it for him. I guess he was ill at home in bed. He was reading it in private. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shiur HaTefer Halacha al Moshe Misinai. Initially, he taught when we tie the Sefer Torah together, so the top knot is left a little bit loose, so that when the guy does Glila, when he rolls up the Sefer Torah, if he tightens it too much, the parchment won't tear. It'll have room to expand a little bit. He won't tear the strings that are tying it together. People tighten the Sefer Torah, so we take that into account. We don't want the string to tear through the parchment. We leave the string on top a little bit loose. If you tighten it, it can spread a little bit. So he said like this, Shiur HaTefil, the remainder of the knot on top, Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, Umachu La'amocha. And then after he said that, he knocked himself on the head, so to speak. He contradicted himself, and he said, no, that's not. It's not really Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Velo amru ela kedei shelo yikara. He said, no, it's not Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. The rabbi said it just to ensure the Sefer Torah doesn't get torn. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, ilmale. And the word ilmale with a yod means if yes. Ilmale with an aleph means if not. That's a Tosfos in the beginning of the third chapter, right? Ilmale. Next page, we'll see it. Bottom of the next page, Tosfos says, ilmale with aleph means if not. Ilmale with yod means if yes. So Rav Chiya bar Abba quoted in the name of Rav Yochanan, Ilmalei nishtayel b'me'ara shamad b'moshe v'eliyahu kimlo nekev machat tzidkit. If in the cave that Moshe and Eliyahu stood, there would have remained a gap that was the size of the eye of a needle, a thin needle, machat tzidkit. Na'yu yuchlin lamod b'bnei ora. They couldn't stand the light of God's passing next to them. Because the Pasuk says, "Ki lo yirani adam v'chai." No human being can see God and live. So they were in a cave where there was no room for the light to enter. So if you guys think you know what that means, tell me. Because God's light is not a physical light, and no human being could ever fill up a space till there's no space left other than the eye of a needle. You know, so obviously there's more to this than meets the eye. Excuse the pun. V'amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ma'idichtiv aleihem kechol dvarim shadibar Hashem imachem bahar. And on top of that, Hashem gave you all, like all the things He taught you by the mountain. Melamed shirao HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe diktukei Torah diktukei Sofrim u'ma she'Sofrim atidin lechadesh u'mayniu mikra Megillah. This teaches us that Hashem taught Moshe all the different rabbinic institutions, all the different derivations of the Torah, all the different things that the later opinions would figure out, everything that people would figure out in the future, and even what would they figure out, what new institution was still left to come to add on to the Megillah, to the Torah. That's the reading of the Megillah. So even that Moshe Rabbeinu was told, he was foretold when Hashem gave him the Torah. There's a very interesting Tosus Yomtiv in his introduction to Mishnah. He asks, how does that work? He basically says Moshe learned it but didn't teach it to anyone. He says, why'd we lose it? He says, well, it wasn't taught. There was information that was given to Moshe that was his alone. Not everything that Moshe was taught was for the sake of giving over. So he heard everything, but he taught what we needed to know. Okay, we'll pick up here, Bezat Shem.